Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Good afternoon and good night. Welcome one and all to Monday Football Monday here on the SB Nation NFL Show. A reminder that we are presented to you by DraftKings Fantasy Sports. Check out what DraftKings has to offer this season with code SBNFL because life is more fun when you are in on the action. DraftKings, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Age and eligibility restrictions apply. Void or prohibited. See DraftKings.com. for details. As noted, this is the SB Nation NFL Show. You can subscribe to us, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple devices, Spotify, etc., etc. Leave a rating, write a review. Those things always make us happy. You can also watch us on the SB Nation NFL YouTube channel. When I say us, the incredible Rachel Prevett is on the ones and twos as always. I am Margie Ochoa from Blogging the Voice. And with me today, the one, the only, the incredibly handsome and debonair from SBNation.com, Mark Schofield. Mark, JP's not here, which means you get all the toys this morning.
I get all the toys. It's like, you know, when, you know, I've got two kids and one has a birthday and the other is sad, you know, because they're watching their sibling get all the toys. I'm the sibling whose birthday it is. I'm getting all the toys today. It's very exciting.
We were talking on the subject, I guess, of toys, about Christmas, you know, that time of year, the most wonderful time of the year, is I think what the trademark phrase is. We were talking about that, you, Rachel, and I, before we started recording, and I was going to ask y'all then, but I wanted to wait, and ask while we were recording, and I would love to hear Rachel's response at the end. Is your family a Christmas Eve opener family, a Christmas Eve dinner family, Christmas Day, Christmas morning opener? Like, this is, you know, there's a division, I think, amongst, you know, worldwide citizens on this.
Yeah, what we typically do is we split it up with one side of the family, either my wife's side will be Christmas Eve and then mine will be Christmas Day, or vice versa. So that's how we kind of split things up. Just makes it easier. And plus, that way the kids get 2 days, basically. They get a Christmas Eve gift presentation. They get the Christmas morning gift presentation. And then obviously with that side of the family in the afternoon. So that's how we do it. Growing up, though, we would have like one present on Christmas Eve and then everything else Christmas Day.
Okay. I've always been a Christmas Eve person. But now that, you know, I've got my own family, I make the rules. You know what I mean? So like now we're Christmas Day people and it's more fun, I think, like, you know, doing the pajamas in the morning, you know, like you got the cup of coffee. I will say I have become the dad who's obsessed with throwing all the wrapping paper away. Like as it's happening.
It's the cycle of life, RJ. Cause my dad was the same way. Yeah. I'm the same way now. Like, Christmas morning, the kids come downstairs, they see the tree, they run to the presents. My wife follows in with the coffee and she's filming and she's taking pictures. I veer off into the kitchen under the sink, grab the trash bags. You got to have two. You can't start out with one because you got to fill it up immediately.
Right.
And then just like Matt, like filling up the trash bags. It's just a psych. It's a rite of passage.
Well done. By the way, a special shout out to the Schofields, some of our favorite audience members here on the SB Nation.
Hi, Mom and Dad.
And on Monday, Football Monday. It's an interesting time of the year, Mark, because they're the NFL, like you and I just talked about our families, but the NFL hates them. The NFL is like, you have families, like you want to hang out with them and enjoy this time of year. The kids are, you know, out of school and you got everyone visiting and things like that. Screw them. Watch our product. There was obviously a Thursday night football game that found out, or, you know, ultimately featured Brandon Staley getting fired on Friday. Brandon Gowden, Steven Serta, and I talked about that on TGI Football. There were also three Saturday games. You know, respect, but you know, Saturday was like 14 days ago at this point. Like it was too far in the rearview mirror.
Too far. I don't remember.
Yeah. So, we're here to recap all of the Sunday action from week 15. There are only 3 weeks left and I'm starting to get some serious anxiety about that. I also did not prep you or Rachel for this. So hopefully you're both quick on your feet. We will not be here on Christmas Day. So everyone is aware. We will not have a show next week. We will be back, I believe, for TGI Football at the end of next week. But it's the last you're hearing of us for at least 2 weeks here on Monday Football Monday. So since this is technically basically our Christmas episode, Mark. Like any kind of sitcom, or I don't know if like The Walking Dead ever had Christmas episodes, but any general television show.
Right, you gotta have a Christmas episode.
Yeah, we have to make it a Christmas episode. So yeah, as we fly through all the Sunday games, what I'm going to do is offer a Christmas phrase to you. And I would like you, and you can remember process of elimination here, to figure out what game I'm hinting at that we are going to next.
Oh, this should be fun.
Does the game make sense?
It makes sense.
And some will be, I think, lyrics from a Christmas song. Some will maybe be like the title of a Christmas movie. And they're not all literal. Like, you know, there's we're here to have some fun.
Okay.
Oh, I thought that you were going to play like a Christmas music or something.
I'm sliding the slate of schedule of games in front of me, so I know what I'm working with here. You know?
All right,
I wasn't prepped for this. I got to do homework.
Oh, wow, how could you be prepped? I didn't want to prep you. Like, it had to be spur of the moment. So,
no, it's spur of the moment. This is like a Scrubs episode where you're like getting whisked in to do an operation or procedure or like a tracheotomy in front of Dr. Cox, and you're so nervous about it.
Yeah, you know, we really kind of are the Scrubs crew around here. You and I are very clearly Turk and JD. That Absolutely. Would make Rachel Carla. I think that makes JP the janitor, maybe, potentially. Like, because he's got that stern glow about him.
That could work.
Michael Kist is obviously Dr. Cox.
Absolutely.
So it all works around here.
It fits together.
Many great Scrubs Christmas episodes as well. All right, Mark, the first phrase, and you've got to guess. Here we go. The weather outside is frightful.
Is that got to be Panthers Falcons?
Absolutely not. That is the Buffalo Bills lambasting of the Dallas Cowboys. Because the weather wasn't frightful. This was like thing. It was like the most
45 degrees.
Yeah, like it was like Aaron Andrews talked about this on the broadcast at the very beginning, how Dak Prescott was like, it feels beautiful out here. And had the weather been horrible, I would have been able to sit here and cope and be like, well, the weather was terrible. It's Buffalo, blah, blah. No. JP, by the way, said wow in the chat. I don't know if that's to being the janitor in Scrubs or probably missing out on this efforts. Fun episode. JP, we love you. And I meant the janitor in a really complimentary
way. In a good, heartfelt way.
Yeah, he's exactly.
The glue that held that show together.
If you don't show up 2 weeks from now, JP, with a penny, we'll be really upset. But anyway, weather was not an issue for the Cowboys. Nothing was. They had all the reason in the world to go into Orchard Park, come out with a win, and the way I phrased it, Mark, go snuff the Bills. Like, they had nothing but hope for this season, and the Cowboys let them continue to have it. On the other side of things, the Bills, holy crap, what a performance. Josh Allen completed 7 passes, and that's all they needed. They absolutely ran all over the Cowboys. It was embarrassing.
Yeah, ran all over them. They had, 266 yards rushing as a team? That was the most for a Bills offense since Tyrod Taylor was their starting quarterback back in 2016. This was the game where if you're another AFC team, maybe even including the Ravens, you look at that and you're like, I do not want to see this team right now. Because the argument for the Bills coming into this game was, look, they've got Josh Allen. Like, strip everything else away. They've got Josh Allen. He could go on a freakish run. They could win games just because he's doing Josh Allen alien things. It's kind of how they beat the Chiefs 2 weeks ago. This was completely different. He was just along for the ride in many ways. This was a dominant run game. Dominant defensive performance. This was the Bills saying, we can win in more than one way. This is like when Happy learned to putt. And that should be terrifying to the rest of the AFC, because now if you do get a weather game, if you are, say, the Baltimore Ravens and you're hosting this team on divisional round weekend and it's 31 and sort of, you know, sleety and nasty in Baltimore, like they've had some playoff games there in the past, Buffalo can win a game like this on that night. So I think this was a very impressive performance from Buffalo, a terrifying performance for the rest of the AFC. From Dallas, this is the game you didn't want to see, right? Like, this is the game you're just like, oh no, like all the goodwill, all the momentum, everything we had going our way is now gone. This was the chance where they could have had a statement when they could have said, look, you know, we've been a little spotty on the road this year. We can go into Buffalo. We can go into a team that obviously can play good football, that just beat the Chiefs, put together our statement performance. And now it's like, we've just lost this game. Now we're back into the fifth spot. How good are we? And, you know, if the playoffs started right now, yeah, they're a better team than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who they'd play in Wild Card weekend. But I don't know.
So I want to talk about the Bills first on my end, because they won and they deserve that love. I agree. I actually think, and we'll get to the Rams in a little bit, I think we're going to see a 7 seed win a playoff game. this year.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if the Bills wind up being one. I do believe in the Rams on the other side of things, but they might climb up to six because of Minnesota. But again, that's neither here nor there for this point. Super impressive game from the Bills. I mean, if this is the like proverbial, if I had told any Cowboys fan, like, oh, dude, Josh Allen's only going to complete seven passes, you would have said, oh, the weather must have been frightful. Like, it must have been horrible. Like, and the Cowboys defense ate and was at him all day long. And this was never close. Like it literally never felt close. And to the Bills' credit, they picked up some luck. If you feel like the personal fouls are a little bit subjective, whatever, but they leaned into it and they capitalized on it. And that is the hallmark of a good team. I have started to kind of eke my way back into the mafia just a little bit over the last few weeks. It never felt like things were as bad as they really were, you know, the night they lost to the Broncos on Monday Night Football, right? Like that was a really low point, but it never felt like they were truly that bad. Just they kept kind of getting in their own way. And so kudos to them. I don't know if all this has bought Sean McDermott new life in 2024. That remains to be seen, I think. And some of that's obviously going to be impacted by the way this all, you know, kind of shakes out. But I do think what is so like beautiful and terrible about the NFL is the Bills are on top of the world right now. And they're the 9 seed in the AFC.
Yeah.
Like that is so demoralizing.
That's the thing. Like they could be a terrifying team if they get in. And they might not. I mean, it's not a given that they're going to get in. And the thing about them is they've shown these past 2 weeks that they can beat anybody. They've also shown this year they can lose to anybody. This is a team that lost to the Broncos. This is a team that lost to the Patriots. Mm. And they get the Chargers and the Patriots the next 2 weeks. The most Bills thing ever. The most 2023 NFL season ever would be if they somehow lost one or both of those games.
If they lost at the Chargers and the Chargers finally looked great, like without Brandon Staley and without Justin Herbert.
But Justin Herbert's not on it. Exactly. Houston Stick comes out and throws for like 365 or something.
On the Cowboys side of things, you know, like, are they this bad? No. And I think you believe that too. But you said it, like, you built up all, like, you know, people have different versions of this, but like one, oh crap, wipes out a million attaboys and you have the wrong, oh crap. Like if this just, however annoying it is, like you just fed the narrative. You had the narrative completely in your hands, completely in your control. And maybe you don't care about the narrative. But I mean, this was completely there for the Cowboys for the taking and they just peed down their leg. I mean, and
the good ship USS Dak Prescott MVP just hit a big iceberg.
Man.
Like, and I know you've been out on Threads this morning with the odds for various postseason awards. He was the favorite coming into this week. And that took a big hit.
And it's so hard to get back to that, like a year from now, right? It's set, you have to finish, like, if you want it. And I think, like, I don't mean to take shots at the Eagles here because the Cowboys deserve the shots. But, like, it's like you look at Jalen Hurts a year ago. It's so hard to get back and to kind of have everything go your way. Really, really embarrassing day for the Cowboys. Mike McCarthy not challenging what we know was a Stephon Diggs fumble. Again, all the personal fouls. I love Dan Quinn, Mark, but I've always felt like he's just gotten too much love and adoration. Like people are like, oh, Dan Quinn's the one who's really in charge and blah, 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 and this and that. It's like, dude, Dan Quinn's gotten worked in two of the last three games. Because remember, they didn't even force a Seattle punt on Thursday Night Football. This is a humbling and hopefully harrowing moment for the Cowboys where they kind of figure things out. They did, you mentioned Wild Card Weekend, they did clinch a playoff berth
before this game
began. And they're, you know, especially if the Eagles win tonight on Monday Night Football, they will be about as effectively locked into that 5 seed as they can be. So they do have a few weeks left to kind of tinker and toy and adjust and potentially manufacture their own bye. And I think everyone would take them over the Bucks, but everyone similarly would feel like, well, if you have to go to San Francisco and maybe even Philadelphia in the divisional round, you know, that's kind of all she wrote for you.
Yeah. I mean, although you've at least proven you can beat the Eagles, you know, and you could. There's a team that hung with them in Philadelphia too. And look, how confident are we in the Eagles right now? Mm. I mean, we could be talking tomorrow at this time and they'll have either beaten the Seahawks or maybe Jalen Hurts doesn't go because he's dealing with an illness and he's been downgraded and they lose that game and you're still right in it, you know, for the NFC East still. But yeah, it's just Mike Tenier on Threads basically said it this way about the NFC. It's like everybody can get in. but the Niners are standing at the bridge into the playoffs with a bazooka, like, because that's how good they are right now. And so it really looks like which team is going to earn the right to go to San Francisco and stare down that.
Let's get to our next game, Mark. Your clue is it's turbo time, which may be lost on a younger audience. I hope you've seen Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I have.
That's the signature phrase of the action figure in question. It's turbo time.
I'm going to go with Jets Dolphins.
No.
I mean, 0-2?
Yeah, 0-2. We'll see if you're able to get any of these.
I don't know if I'm going to get any of these, but we're going to keep trying.
We actually are going to San Francisco, because if anyone is Turbo Man in the NFL, it's the 49ers. They do not skip a beat. They do not miss ever.
Yeah.
And I don't know who the Turbo Man truly is. Like, maybe it's Christian McCaffrey. That's what Brock Purdy believes. But
I think what makes them so dangerous is it could be somebody every other week. It could be somebody new every single week. I've said on here before with you and JP that Brandon Ayuk is like the glue guy. And some weeks it can be him. Some weeks it's Debo. Some weeks it's McCaffrey. Some weeks it's Kittle. Some weeks, yes, it's Brock Purdy. Now, this wasn't one of those days. I think I saw that, like, his three touchdowns all had like a separation of like 10 yards or something like that. It was like the most touchdown passes to a group of receivers with 10 yards of separation in history. But there are some weeks where he's had to play better than that and had to play a more sort of explosive type of quarterback play than just what he was asked to do yesterday, because so much stuff was schemed up open for him. But that's what makes them so dangerous on offense, is that Turbo Man could be somebody different every single week, and you've got to get ready for five potential Turbo Men as a defensive coordinator. That's a tough ask.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to feel like anyone can win the Super Bowl over them or beat them to the Super Bowl. Like, this feels like the least destructible, the most indestructible version of this team that we've seen in the Kyle Shanahan era, potentially. I mean, the last time I really felt this way about them was the Colin Kaepernick emergence in 2012. Because that was, you know, when the like RPO read option stuff was like,
it was new.
Yeah. And it was like, there's no one can stop this dude. And that was, you know, RG3's rookie year and Russell Wilson. And so it was all kind of happening in parallel. But they just were this monster. And amazingly, they're on a collision course for the Ravens, not just next week on Christmas night, but probably in the Super Bowl again. I mean, like, I don't know how to, like, what is the flaw in the Niners right now? What, like, injury, health? I mean, like,
health, injuries, just beating themselves, like Kyle Shanahan overthinking things. Like, when you're grasping for straws like this, that's how you know a team basically is a complete football team. They have so many different ways they can beat you. No, just not on the micro level with, oh, it's Debo one day and it's Christian McCaffrey the other. Just on a macro level, they can run the football. They can throw. They can beat you defensively. This is a team that's defense is good enough that if it's a 17-13 rock fight, they can win that too. Like, they've got so many different pathways to win football games. That's what makes them so dangerous. And say hypothetically they do play the Ravens, well, obviously they will, you know, on Christmas night, but, you know, in a Super Bowl, if that gets ground down, if Lamar Jackson and company want to like drag that game into a slugfest, they can win that too.
I don't really have a take on the Cardinals. I mean, I had said before that I thought the Cardinals might be able to play NFC spoiler. They do play the Eagles still. And they're kind of cute. I mean,
They're kind of cute. They're not as bad as we thought. Like, remember early in the year with Gannon, it was like, oh, this is silly. Like, he's going to be one and done. I think they're better than that. I think they've put themselves into an interesting place for next year. Like, they've got a lot of draft capital, obviously. And I think they're going to run it back with Kyler. I don't think they're going to force a quarterback pick. So Marvin Harrison, one of the top two tackles, like, they could certainly add some talent. Yeah, I think they're not as bad as we thought they were going to be, but they're not good enough to play spoiler.
I do think that if Kyler finishes this regular season well, and if the offseason vibes are fine, I do think there's a take lurking out there, kind of like around August 2024, of the Cardinals are this year's Lions. You know, like the team who's kind of like built their program, tanked a little bit, accrued some capital. They'd have to, you know, use it effectively, obviously, in the draft. Like if it is a Marvin Harrison Jr. sort of thing, like, you know, I
always feel like it's more like they're last year's Lions.
Well, they're
like the team that's going to get some buzz, but they're probably just going to push for a playoff spot. They're not going to get in.
Okay, so
but
then
they're the Lions.
Then the Cardinals in 2024 will be the 2022 Lions. But if there is a 2023 Lions team in 2024, I do think it's the Houston Texans. Like, they'll be the team that, like, everyone is jumping in on.
Absolutely.
A little 100%. Bit late, because some of us around here were pretty early on that. Okay, let's move on. Your challenge, Mark, is Rudolph with your nose so bright. Won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
See, we're not doing the Saturday games. I would have said Steelers-Colts because Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, but we're not.
It's not.
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
I'll try Panthers-Falcons again.
What would be the tie-in?
The weather, because it was miserable.
No. No, it's not. So I think it's funny when people point out, like, the literalness of Christmas songs. And sometimes I enjoy when people point out that, like, if they had been Rudolph, they would be, like, really petty. You know, they'd be like, oh, hell no. Like, I'm not.
I'm not helping you now.
Yeah, exactly. So in that sense, Baker Mayfield, we've kind of doubted him a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw this. He became the first passer visiting passer in the history of Lambeau Field with a perfect pass rating, with a minimum of 5 passing attempts, obviously.
I saw that when the Buccaneers tweeted that out Sunday night, and I had to triple check
it. He was awesome, dude.
He was awesome. But I was like, first ever visiting QB at Lambeau to do that? I would have thought somebody had done it before.
I mean, who's the quarterback in their division that, like, historically?
Brady had played there before, so maybe he had done it, or like a Peyton Manning game,
maybe,
or something.
But Baker Mayfield, 22 of 28, 381 yards, 4 touchdowns on the day. I do think that Rashad White is maybe the least talked about player in the NFL relative to, like, how much he's contributing to his team. And I remain confident in the Cowboys visiting Tampa, but, like, this felt like the graduation of the Bucks from, like, oh, you're just the, like, crummy NFC South winner to, like, maybe you're actually somewhat good and deserving of this playoff spot.
Yeah, and it's weird because we've been down on this division for so long. Like, oh, somebody's going to win it, whatever. They're going to get just rolled in the first round of the playoffs. This Tampa team feels a little bit better than that. And it was weird because the day started with Devin White being ruled out for non-football reasons, and it's like, well, weird, things are gonna fall to pieces in Tampa Bay, and then they go out and do this. White was tremendous. You know, the 89 yards on 21 carries is part of the story because of what he did out of the backfield too. Had a touchdown catch on a really well-designed play with, like, orbit return motion and all sorts of stuff moving at the snap. Baker was he was playing extremely well. These weren't like checkdowns. He was ripping it downfield. He had a quintessential Baker moment where he got pulled down from behind. You know, he thought it was a horse collar, and the ref came over and was like, no, you, like, broke through the tackle, so we can't call that. He, like, flexed in the ref's face. It was like, again, just vintage Baker. They seem for real. Like, I don't know if it's going to be good enough to win against the Cowboys in that hypothetical matchup. They could. Like, it's a non-zero chance.
I really thought that the Bucs would return to, like, complete and total irrelevance when Tom Brady finally left. And for, like, I know it hasn't been a long time. It was a three-year run. But, like, for, like, newer NFL fans, like, nobody ever cared about the Bucs before Tom Brady showed up. Like, they weren't. In fact, Gerald McCoy signed with the Cowboys in 2020 after spending a year with the Panthers. And he talked about what he was the most excited about was playing on primetime. He said he had played in primetime once in his whole career with the Buccaneers, and that game was against the Cowboys. You know what I mean? So, like, it just speaks to, like, how in the shadows they have been. And I give Baker a lot of props, and I feel like we have to give, you know, Todd Bowles a little bit of props here. Like,
we
have, you know, I think we did just, like, assume, kind of like New England, sorry, that it would just be like this: Brady's gone and everybody sucks now. But, like, that's not like, they're talented in their own right. They deserve some props.
They absolutely do. And there were takes earlier in the season that Todd Bowles was probably going to get fired, that, you know, they're going to tear it down and finally go in on a rebuild and draft a quarterback. And I spent so many times this summer making fun of the Kyle Trask, Baker Mayfield quarterback camp battle. It was like, who cares? Like, it's not going to matter. Baker's playing really well. Todd Bowles has this team playing extremely well. They finished with Jags, Saints, Panthers, I believe, is their schedule. They could win all three of those games. Man. Like,
they could deliver a kill shot to the Jaguars a little bit.
They really could.
Yeah.
And JP's not here, so we can lean into that at some point. But
the janitor.
That's There were some takes floating around last night in various group chats and DMs. Like, how good is Trevor Lawrence really?
I saw JP quite triggered on social media.
When JP put out the post, like, they are the dumbest, stupidest team in football. It's like, yeah, they had some dumb mental miscues down the stretch. Where are we on Green Bay? Because I feel like 2 weeks ago, they were like, okay, they beat the Chiefs. Like, this is a very good football team. And then you lose to Tommy DeVito and Baker Mayfield in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, so again, not to smush the Eagles, but like I've seen, like, you know, in Cowboys Eagles fight, people are like, oh, well, at least the Eagles beat the Chiefs. And I don't feel like beating the Chiefs is this, like, you know, mount for your office the way it has been in the past, right? And so, like, I think we maybe read a little bit too much into the Packers because of that. And so, like, if they hadn't lost to the Giants, you know, if they'd won, I think we would have been like, oh, they just ran into, like, a really hot Bucs team here. But I do think this is, like, you know, this is kind of maybe, I think in totality, who we kind of thought the Packers could be in a really great, optimistic sense. Like, be a team that contends, be a team that competes, show us signs of life on offense. You have an incredibly young offense, incredibly young pass catching group, obviously. This you're not going to win the Super Bowl, right? Like, and I know that's a hard and difficult and frustrating thing for anyone to accept, but, like, this is about building and like, think about the 2008 Packers, like the first season with Aaron Rodgers. They were a mess in their own right. Like, this is building a foundation for the future, and it was always going to be this way.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's just, I don't know how well that sits with Packers fans.
Sure.
I think that's the bigger question, right? Like, there's going to, like, coming into, say, like, early November, there were questions like, okay, is Jordan Love really the guy or not? And then he had that really good stretch where, you know, they beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Like, you beat the Chiefs. And I think you're absolutely right. That game isn't quite the, like, put her on the wall kind of showcase victory that we used to think it was because of the way the Chiefs are struggling right now. But Love went from, we're not sure, to, yeah, he's definitely the guy. I think we're coming back around and there's going to be questions again. I think they're young, they're talented. This is the sort of, I think the 2008 season is a great comparison, great sort of point of reference. That this is the sort of, okay, they're going to get their feet wet. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to push for a playoff spot. Maybe we get in, maybe we don't. Next year's our year. Maybe they're also the Lions from last season in a sense, where they're going to kind of push around a little bit, not going to really get in. Next year is going to be the better season for them.
Man, what a weird thing that we're just chasing the crown people.
We're just chasing the crown for Dan Campbell.
All right, let's move on, Mark. Your next prompt is Christmas Vacation. Obviously, that's the title of a movie. If I may, I will say that I watched this movie for the first time last year. Kind of overrated. Like, it didn't hit me the same way that it hits a lot of people. Maybe I was just way too late in the game to watching it. You know what I mean? But I at the end, I was like, that's it. Like, this is, like, what gets all the t-shirts and, like, you know, millions of items at Target. Like, you know, it's like, you know.
I mean, it's a bit dated if you're coming to it for the first time now. It's a bit dated. I still think it's a classic. I've already watched it twice this holiday season. So, now, are you going to go with just the literal title? I'm going to say Jets Dolphins.
Mark, you did it. You got one. Let's go.
I got one. It's a Festivus miracle, RJ. Festivus miracle.
Now I can't use Festivus. So way to go, Mark. You peed on that one. But this is actually kind of challenging. I, you know, don't have these, like, prepared. I'm doing these, like, one at a time. So well done for taking one off the board. This has really, for me, has nothing to do with, like, it being overrated. Although I think maybe the Jets were a little bit, but I think it's kind of hard to bag on them at this point, just given everything they've gone through. But they are so checked out. Like, they are ready for a Christmas vacation. And what better place to kind of start the run than in Miami? Like, this was so embarrassing for the Jets. I know this is about the Dolphins, but, dude, this is bad.
I felt like every time I said this in our Slack, I felt like every time I looked up and the Jets were on offense, Zach Wilson was running for his life and having a turf a throw. And then you get the weird, like, it's not a concussion, but he's ruled out with a head injury. You got Trevor Siemian coming to the game. And this team is absolutely checked out. And the one thing I will also say is the way that they lost probably saves us from a week of will he or won't he about Aaron Rodgers. Because let's face it, if the Jets had somehow won this game, we would have been in for a week of he's going to come back and save them and get them into the playoffs. Like, that would have been our entire week.
That's true, but I mean, I have to, you know, like, shoehorn this in. So the reports did come out on Sunday morning from all – actually, I think they started on Saturday, obviously, with all the Saturday games. I know you were all over this. But, I mean, so it was, oh, man, Aaron Rodgers has effectively declared, if the Jets win, I'm in. I don't remember what the line was, but I think the Jets were something like 12-point underdogs. So, like, wow, Aaron. Like,
thanks.
Real, you know, limb you've gone out on here. Yeah. Like, you know, it just – I mean – if you don't believe that like this was all fabricated by Rodgers to keep himself in the news, and every time this has been like given to us by an insider or an analyst or whatever, it is, even Jim Nantz said this like during the game, it is always brought with, you know, let's not lose sight of the medical accomplishment that this is from Aaron Rodgers. Like like everyone sees through this. Nobody is buying this, not a single person. And I don't say this to like, you know, dump on Aaron Rodgers. Like, I feel bad for him that he was injured and I wish we could have seen him this year. But like, this is such an annoying story that we're being fed over and over and over again. So I'm glad I'm with you, but it will lead to the Rodgers McAfee appearance where he's like, man, I tell you, I was ready to come back.
I was ready to go. I was ready to go. I mean, I was out there. I had a throwing session on Saturday. I was dropping back. I felt like a kid again.
I had already done my prep and my film study. Yeah. You know, I mean,
I was deep into the film for next week. I was ready to go. We were starting to put together Coach Hackett and I, who's the best offensive mind there is in all of the NFL. We had put together our 15-play script. We were going to come out. It was going to be sort of the Christmas game that people would be talking about for ages, Pat, because we were to come out, you know, it's the Commanders, right? Like that's a team that they look to be checked out too. There's going to be a statement win for us. And we were going to roll into our final two games, Cleveland, New England. We were going to sweep the season. We were going to do it. We were ready to go. But Zach couldn't get it done. Offensive line couldn't get it done against Miami. And so we'll just have to wait till next year.
The Dolphins, I don't want to take anything away. Like even when the Jets are bad, like beating a team 30-0 is really impressive. Tua was great. You know, relatively speaking, obviously no Tyreek in this game. Jalen Waddle, way to be Turbo Man yourself.
That's why I went with the Turbo Man from earlier. Mm-hmm. I thought you were making a Waddle play there.
I mean, you were wrong, but I mean, I guess respect on your methodology. Raheem Mostert is now climbing a bit. You mentioned the odds in the Offensive Player of the Year vibes. But yeah, this Dolphins team, I mean, I think they're winning the AFCs. I mean, I think they probably win that rematch against the Bills. I mean, at this point.
I think so. It's just they need Hill for that game. Like they absolutely need Tyreek Hill for that game.
If you're the Dolphins, and I'm asking somewhat selfishly, do you rush Tyreek back this week against the Cowboys?
See, that's the thing. Their schedule these final 3 weeks is so tough because you get Cowboys, then you get Baltimore, then you get Buffalo. Like,
and I think what's crummy, again, if you're evaluating that, the Dolphins, you play on Sunday and the Ravens play on Saturday. So it's not like you, and because I think in your heart, you're thinking, well, they could slip up to San Francisco. You know what I mean? That we can be in position for the one seed, but you won't even know that when you play. So you kind of have to, you know, trust your gut. Wow.
Yeah. I think you try to get them back. I mean, because Tyreek at 75% is still better than no Tyreek. And he's going to want to come back too.
Sure.
I think their mind this week was, look, you're 50%. We don't need you this week. Get yourself to 75-80% for next week in the stretch run. That's what we need.
What did you think, by the way, of Stephen Ross doing the Jalen Waddle?
He's going to stop that. He's going to stop that. No. We can't have, you know, 75-year-old billionaires doing the Waddle in the suite. Like,
I agree with you, but let me say that I realized when that happened that Stephen Ross is who David Tepper so badly wants to be. You know what I mean? Like, the billionaire having
that
a great...
That is just a... incredible phrase right there.
No, but like, I mean, the like billionaire whose team is like thriving and who gets to like do however, you know, name it is, waddle on national television.
Like, I'm just generally against, you know, billionaire owners dancing like that. Like when Jim Irsay was dancing in the locker room a couple weeks ago, it's just like, nah. Like, you can celebrate stuff like that.
At the like the banquets they go to every weekend, you think they're the ones actually on the floor cutting it up?
Oh, that's just... you know, 30 NFL owners.
Yes, yeah, it's like a group of like something. It's a group of people like doing the YMCA, maybe the Cupid Shuffle. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like that's kind of it. That's all they got in the repertoire.
It's lunchtime, man. Can we move on?
We are going to move on. Your phrase is one word, one single word. By the way, I started to feed these to Rachel so she could have the banners prepped, and she correctly guessed Dolphins Jets too. So you're completely and totally simpatico. So we'll see if Rachel's able to get this with you. Your phrase, and she knows it, is mistletoe. So where are you taking us here? Remember, process of elimination, you're whittling down. Mistletoe is what we're going with here.
Chiefs Patriots.
That is wrong. Rachel doesn't know, by the way, what it is. So, Rachel, hopefully you guessed it right yourself. We are going with mistletoe is kind of a game of chance and a game of luck, right? Like if you if you kiss somebody when you're underneath it, so you gotta, you know, maybe strategically line yourself up. Like, oh, I see them walking under. Now I gotta make my move. Have you ever, by the way, like found yourself under mistletoe?
And no, it has never happened to me in my entire life.
Yeah, like I don't think that happens to anybody.
I think it's just in movies.
Yeah, like I think you're right.
It's
like
kind of a weird thing to like if you had a silly sauce, like we went to a holiday party Friday night, okay? And if we had shown up and there were kids there and stuff, it was like a family thing, it wasn't just all adults, and there was like mistletoe hanging, it'd be kind of weird, right?
It would be weird to be like, you're right. I think it would be something that like, you know, college kids do or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they'd be like, oh man, you know, John and Jane found themselves under the mistletoe. And then the party's like, goose, goose, with like their solo cups in their hands. So it is a game of chance in a theoretical sense, but it also is something that I thought was revitalized in recent history when Justin Bieber had the song called Mistletoe. So I don't know if that's on your Christmas playlist, but it should be.
It's absolutely not.
Well, it should be. Anyway, okay. Rachelle did get this correct, because a game of chance that had a great twist that made it better was Bears-Browns. This game looked over. This game was gross. It was done. And the Browns, behind the, you know, just like beautiful gray beard and grizzliness of Joe Flacco, found a way to dig deep to get it done and win it in regulation. I mean, I thought this was going to overtime at the very least. The Browns, Joe Flacco, and what they have going on is really fun. And I think, you know, I know a lot of people have like a problem with the Browns. Certainly do not fault you for that. But as far as this football team, like the amalgamation of players they have right now, the way they cobble wins together is really entertaining.
It's really fun what they're doing right now. And to think that they're on their fourth starting quarterback, somebody that was like a street free agent just a couple of weeks ago, and now they're very much in the driver's seat for a playoff spot. And with that defense, you know, do you want to play the Browns? Like if you're a team like Jacksonville, you know, because that's the matchup right now. That's the 4-5, Jacksonville, Cleveland. Do you want to see the Cleveland Browns? Do you want to see Myles Garrett? Do you want to see what Joe Flacco is doing right now? And what's fascinating about this game is it's not like Flacco played great. Like he threw three picks. Like it wasn't going well, but in the clutch moment makes that incredible throw to Cooper where he like splits three defenders. Then he gets the two big throws to Njoku on the final drive. The defense gets the three and out to give him a chance to win it in regulation. This is a super fun team to watch. And you think about what they've got left in terms of who they play, Houston, which, you know, they got to win, but kind of struggling right now because Stroud was out and, you know, wasn't a pretty win against Tennessee. Get the Jets, who, as we said, they're on vacation already. And then you might have a spot locked up by the time you play the Bengals on the road in week 18.
I really wanted to believe that I'm a big Matt Eberflus fan. First of all, because of his time with the Cowboys, he's a great human being. And I've always just kind of had a soft spot for the Bears franchise. When he took over, became their head coach, I was in, you know what I mean? And I really wanted it to be great. And I love Justin Fields. And obviously he has his haters. I love DJ Moore. So again, like it was all kind of coming up RJ. I had allowed myself like a week ago to be like, maybe they kind of finished strong, and they had been looking, you know, decent, and Montez Sweat's played really well since they traded for him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I thought, I picked them to beat the Browns. I picked them to cover, which I think there was 3 points. There was a push here. So, I mean, not totally wrong, but man, dude, like, how do you blow this game? Like, how do you blow this? I
don't know. I'm so curious, and I'm going to be fascinated to see what they do this offseason, because you could see a path where they talk themselves into the like Giants Daniel Jones plan, right? Where it's like, we're not going to draft a quarterback, but we're not going to pick up the fifth year option, and we're going to just build around it. And maybe you play great and we decide that we have to give you a new deal, or maybe you're not great and we got to move on, but we've at least added talent around the next quarterback we add. Like they can go a couple of different ways. As for which one they pick, I don't know. If I had to harbor a guess, I think you kind of, if you sit in there first overall, you probably just have to draft the quarterback unless somebody gives you, you know, three first round picks in exchange for it. But yeah, I wanted to believe in this Bears team. I wanted to believe in this team coming into last year and even a little bit into this year. And it just hasn't clicked for them. And a lot of it's defensive, and you'd expect them to be better on the defensive side of the ball. Justin Fields is still a very good athlete and can make some big plays. But the passing game is not what you want to see from an NFL offense. It's still maddeningly inconsistent, I'd say. And then, you know, okay, so Cleveland comes back and ties it, get a first down, and at least get yourself to overtime. You go 3-0.
Browns against the AFC South winner in the playoffs. That's what it is right now. It's the Jaguars. They're leading the division. But like,
I like Cleveland in that game.
Okay, like whether it's Houston or Indianapolis, if they pull it off,
all three of them right now.
I mean, CJ Stroud changes the calculus a little bit, obviously, but
a little bit. But like, they still looked a little off without Tank Dell. I mean, I know the game against the Jets was a bit of a weather game, but I'm still taking them. I mean, the one that I think I'm having the toughest time with is probably the Colts.
You're saying the Colts are the team you think stands the biggest chance, the best chance?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we get to see Houston take on Cleveland this week. Like, remember we had that Houston-Denver game a few weeks ago that was kind of like, you know, big for playoff implications? This will be massive. So looking forward to that, all the Christmas vibes and whatnot. The Christmas vibes continue and roll on here, Mark. So Rachelle is 2-for-2. She's got 1,000% batting average.
She's destroying me.
She didn't have chances at the first one. So, you know, maybe that makes you feel better. So our prompt now, Mark, is Happy Xmas, War is Over, which is the title of the John Lennon song, obviously. So this is Christmas. I don't know if we're allowed to sing that, like whatever, right?
Copyrighted.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Kist. But you get my point. Happy Xmas, parentheses, War is Over.
I'm going Chiefs Pats.
Rachel, I'll allow you some time to guess if you want in the chat. And I don't want to say whether Mark is right or not. So, and Rachelle's had longer to think about this than you, Mark.
Yeah,
so
that's okay.
Think about that though. Like you're playing with a handicap. You know what I mean? She gets all this time to kind of think about it and stew and, you know, maybe Google the lyrics and kind of find a hidden deeper meaning. So we'll see if Rachelle's able to get the answer. She hasn't said anything. Maybe she's just protesting at this point. She doesn't
want to. It's a protest non-vote right here.
She has said Panthers Falcons. You're both wrong. So I am a Houston Astros fan, which is kind of a sacrilegious thing in Texas to some people. And so I have a lot of Houston people in my timeline often. And dude, they were pissed. They were petty about the Titans wearing the throwback uniform.
Oh, yeah. I see it now.
Yeah.
I mean, the throwback was one thing. The Bud hat.
And to call it like Oilers week, like I'm of the opinion that it does not, as an NFL like purist and history lover, I do not care that, you know, the Titans have the history and that Houston now happens to have another NFL franchise. That was the deal. You want to keep your stuff, do what Cleveland did and, you know, sue for it. Mark will be your lawyer. But I do kind of get like being miffed and being upset and being petty or whatever. Man, the Titans peed into the petty win and it came back and bit them in the face or, you know, flashed them in the face. This was a really, and it was, I think we were right there with the Titans too, like, cause they were kind of maybe going to win this. Maybe they're in, maybe they're among the AFC South. Nope, dude, credit to Case Keenum, who went to the University of Houston, by the way, for the like totality of this all. And I don't know if you recall the Cougars where Case went, had Oilers colored uniforms this season, and the Titans sued them and filed a cease and desist. So, like, I'm all for the pettiness. I'm all for the victory. Well done, Houston Texans, making August RJ look very, very, very smart.
Yeah, now I'm going to hit the fast forward button.
Wow. Okay, well, you can hit the fast forward button. Kudos to the Texans. And, you know, not that this makes up for you not doing well around here, but you can have JP's fast forward at the very least.
I was hoping that I could get JP's because there's at least one more game that I am definitely going to hammer the fast forward button on.
Well, it can't be on the team that he covers or you cover.
I know. So, we're sticking by those rules.
Those are the rules. Anyway, I didn't have a chance to prep Rachelle for this one because you fast forwarded. I wasn't planning for that. See, we're all on our toes around here. But nevertheless, we're going to go.
It's the Christmas special episode. That's what always happens in a Christmas special. Mm-hmm. Like unexpected things happen. Like somebody gets stuck in traffic. Right.
Okay, so we're going to go with Last Christmas, and I'm going to buy you and Rachelle each some time to think, and I'm going to tell you a really embarrassing story about me. When I was a sophomore in college, I went and played racquetball with my friend Mike, and we play racquetball all the time. And at the time, Glee had just become, like, speaking of sitcoms and television shows, it had just become a thing. And they released a version of Last Christmas that I had heard. And so Mike and I are playing racquetball, and I'm like, dude, I heard this great Christmas song, you know, before, or like earlier today. What is it? Oh, it's called Last Christmas. You know, oh, wow, yeah, how that's cool. And I said, yeah, Glee wrote it. I don't know why I thought this or said this when I was 20 years old, but it just felt like it made sense in my mind. And Mike, you know, mid-racquetball just kind of is like, no, they didn't. And I was so like hell-bent on being right that I said, yes, they did. And I was arguing this point that I had no like proof of in my mind. But at that point, it was simply about winning the argument. Mike stops mid-racquetball, goes to his iPhone with the old brown YouTube icon for
exactly.
And he's like, Wham wrote this song. And I learned a very hard lesson that day about standing up for something you have no concrete proof in. So last Christmas, what's your guess?
Let's see here. I can't see a game that fits here. I gotta be right at some point. Let's go Giants, Giants Saints.
Your guess is Giants Saints. Rachelle has said, this is tough, LOL. She went Panthers Falcons again. That is incorrect. We are going with the Baltimore Ravens and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Ravens winning on Sunday Night Football 23-7 because, like last Christmas, the Ravens are a perennial annual hit. No matter what happens, come December, they're going to be dominating. They're going to be atop the charts. They're going to be amazing. And the Jaguars, I do think we're still, sorry, JP, hearkening back to last year. We're still giving them a little bit. And maybe, and I saw JP kind of, you know, saying this on social media, maybe some of the expectations this year were inflated by the way they finished last year, which again, last year, I'm cheating just a little bit here. This was, I think, a proper calibration of the AFC playoff picture. This is who the Ravens are. This is who the Jaguars are. In a tough game where sometimes things aren't always going your way, you got to be able to grind it out, and the Ravens are able to do that.
Well, I mean, I come back to JP's point from last night, which is the Jaguars are the stupidest team in football. I mean, they made a lot of head-scratchingly curious decisions. I mean, you had the Lawrence fumble where he just dropped the ball. Like, he just dropped the ball. You have their clock management at the end of the first half where they get to play down near the goal line, and rather than spiking and giving themselves two shots, they run a play and you throw an outbreaking route to a slot receiver short of the end zone. Like, it was just a lot of curious decisions by that team. Ravens are legit. Like, and Lamar Jackson's one of one. I mean, how many plays did he have? The, like, scramble, sack avoidance, throw to Likely was just – there are maybe three or four people on the planet that can do that, and he's one of them. Like, what do you do? And it was similar to last week where Aaron Donald probably had Lamar Jackson wrapped up three, four, five different times, and he escaped and somehow made plays. Now, their running back went down, the young running back whose name's escaping me right now, and it's a season-ending knee injury, and you hate to see that.
Keaton Mitchell?
Yeah. But they're a very, very, very good football team.
I am kind of upset that the Ravens and Niners are playing next week because I feel like they both deserve to be the one seed in their respective conferences, and this is going to ruin one of them. I also feel like I kind of have felt this way about Dallas's recent games. Like, it doesn't really mean anything. You know, like, you know what I mean? Like we're going to walk away like, oh, man, like one team really proved something. Like, oh, you mean the two teams who were both already in the playoffs? Because Baltimore clinched on Sunday as well with a win. And we didn't mention it, but San Francisco not only clinched, but clinched the NFC West. So, like, whoa. You know,
I think the only result that would surprise me would be, like, a Baltimore blowout. Like, I think that's the only result that would, like, really surprise me. But if Baltimore wins, not going to surprise me. They're a good football team.
All due respect to the Ravens, but if San Francisco blew them out, I don't think we would be like shocked. You know what I mean? We'd be like, well, Baltimore's kind of struggled a little bit offensively. You know what I mean? Like,
maybe it's not a good matchup. Right. We've seen the Niners blow out some other good teams like Dallas, like Philadelphia. Like, yeah, that would the only surprising result I think would be if it were like 42-10 Baltimore. I'd be like, okay, well, what did we miss here? You know, but if it's like 2017 Baltimore, it's like, okay, these are two very good, perhaps evenly matched football teams. If it's 2017 San Francisco or 42-10 San Francisco, like, those would make sense. A Baltimore blowout win would just kind of leave me like, all right, well, what did we miss about San Francisco?
It is kind of, what's the Anquan Boldin Bowl, which, by the way, is the, like, the most, like, I'm sorry we beat you in the Super Bowl trade ever that has happened between two teams when Baltimore sent him to San Francisco. This is also the MVP bowl, I think. This game, I know we're talking about Sunday's game, but, like, it's going to be,
it feels that way, right?
It's going to be Brock or Lamar based on the narrative of this game. But also on narrative, I do think, like, it was a weird game for the Jaguars. The end of first half sequence from Trevor Lawrence was really bad. I mean, like, from your friend, talk about narrative. Like, I do think that's kind of flying under the radar. And also, you know, there was the report after this game that from Doug Peterson that Trevor Lawrence has entered the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
What? When did he get hit? When did that happen? Like,
it was a second half hit. That was all that we were told.
That's
and he had that weird moment at the end of the game too, where he's like shaking out his arm and you're thinking, oh, did he hurt his shoulder? Did he hurt his elbow? Like, yeah. And he missed a lot of throws in this game. Like, and you know, last week when he comes back, he didn't practice. Like, there were moments when he was not on the same page with the receivers, and you could see that. He could chalk that up to, as Collinsworth kind of did throughout the first half of this game, like, oh, so this is the difference. Like, he gets to practice all week, and he's crisp, and he's on time, and he's in rhythm, and he's on the same page with the receivers. That sort of fell away into the second half. He missed some throws. Like, he had a one-hopper to Ridley on an out route or a comeback route on the right sideline where it's like, and he started doing this after that. It didn't seem right. So maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's hurt again. I don't know. But they're crashing back to earth here. Like, a couple weeks ago, it was like, hey, are they one of the best teams in the AFC? Now it's they're tied with Houston and Indy, and they have tiebreakers on both teams. They have a very favorable schedule. But, you know, when you are sort of reaching for the favorable schedule slash tiebreakers argument, that tells you the direction of where your team is right now.
Well, think about the line, Mark. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart. We did. We gave it to the Jaguars. And the very next day, they gave it away. They really had.
See, I didn't get that deep.
Oh, that's the game, dude. I mean, I can't apologize anymore.
No, Like, no. The game is the game. Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
By the way, did you think the Zay Jones play was or was not a touchdown at the end of the game? Nick, near the end of the game.
I did not see that as a touchdown.
I did. I was kind of with it. I also I think it's such, like, at this point, I'm kind of, I don't need a ref in the booth. Because at this point, like, if you're not telling us what's going to happen, like, what are you doing here? Except for pissing
because
me off.
Because he was adamant that it was a touchdown. And my wife and I were watching it. We were, like, pausing it. We were, like, freeze framing it. We were both just kind of like, it felt like there was one more clench as he was going down. Like, he didn't have complete possession until there was that extra clench to his shoulder. By that time, he was out of bounds. That's what it looked like to us.
Okay. Are we ready to move on?
I'm ready to get another one wrong. Can't wait.
Next up for us, Mark, is one word again, kind of like mistletoe, but not a song, at least not to my knowledge. Eggnog. Before you answer, what are your thoughts on eggnog?
Not a fan.
Okay. Rachel, you can let us know what you think as well.
It's just not for me. I'm very much of the mind that, look, if you enjoy eating something, drinking something, consuming something, like, great. Like, I'm not going to gatekeep. I'm not going to say you have, you know, bad takes on food, drinks, whatever. Like, I'm too old for that. Eat what you like, drink what you like, but I just don't like it.
I agree with you completely. Like, live your life, you know, rock out how you want. It doesn't bother me. I think it's gross. Rachel said it's cool every once in a while. At least Rachel's not, you know, slamming this back in June. You know what I mean?
Like, okay, you see. By what you just said there, I think I have the guess. Falcons, Panthers.
So I'm going to let Rachel guess while I buy, you know, I'm going to buy her some time while she guesses. You just kind of jumped to it. Talk about fast forwarding. Like, you know what I mean?
I saw a window. I took it.
Rachel did previously guess Rams, Commanders. You both now have two because it is Falcons, Panthers. To me, my interpretation and presentation of eggnog is that a lot of people don't like it. It's often a mistake when you try to do it and try to do it in an advanced way. I mentioned college a little while ago. When I was in college, we did eggnog pong, like the first time we ever did like a Christmas party. Horrible idea. Awful
that
idea.
That sounds like a bad idea.
And like the ball got all sticky. You know what I mean? Like, it was horrible. Like, it was just, and like, I've never had any good experience or like association with eggnog. And it's kind of how I feel about this game. Maybe it was cool to people who like appreciate awful football and think that like that is cool, like the football sickos of the world. But like, no, this was not for me. This was an awful, awful, awful game, including the weather, which you have talked about many times.
Obviously. Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, yeah, I was waiting for that. Like, this looked like a miss. Like, they showed at one point a group of guys, like, shirts off. And I'm like, even that doesn't look like fun. Like, even if you're, like, 23 and with your, you know, you're home from college, you're back with your high school friends, you're like, hey, let's go to see a football game. And you're just trying to have fun with
right.
it. Even that didn't look like it would be fun.
Everybody took their turns dumping on the Panthers for the lack of fans in this game. The weather, I would imagine, had at least something to do with that. But yeah, like who's showing up to watch a one-win team in December, in a rainstorm? Even if,
I mean, yeah, the ticket was 45 cents, but the food, the parking, the time, the weather, like it's more expensive than just 45 cents.
Wow. Okay. Mark, you and Rachel are tied here. You've had more cracks at the bat or cracks at the apple. So, I mean, kind of says a lot about you and your success in this game. But next up, the verbiage is, this is how I gave it to Rachelle. Any Christmas Hallmark movie. So that's the verbiage. Any Christmas Hallmark movie. That's what you're going off of here. By the way, we fast forwarded that game. I don't know if that was obvious. Yeah, I know we had this. Okay.
So. I'm going Rams Commanders.
You're going Rams Commanders. Rachelle guessed that previously. I don't know what she's going to guess right here, but I will give her some time as well. She has gone with the Saints Giants game. You're both wrong. Guys, Taylor Swift was at the Patriots Chiefs game wearing a beanie in some cooler weather. You know what I mean? Like this, like, of course it was a Christmas movie. Like the global pop star sensation shows up to like cheer on her significant other all-star tight end who's really not playing that way. And Christmas Hallmark, or I guess Hallmark movies in general, are pretty chalk, right? Like the way they tend to go from a story standpoint. This was kind of formulaic. I guess maybe is the best way. I know it was a little bit tight and cute and contentious. Like
it was only tight and cute and contentious because Kadarius Toney is Kadarius Toney.
That is also a chalk thing. So your thoughts, Mark, on your team falling yet again?
I mean, I wasn't surprised. I mean, I didn't think there was, you know, I did a little piece for our fantastic Arrowhead Pride newsletter about this game. Shout out to everybody over there at Pete and Company. The only way that they were going to potentially pull off the upset was if they played perfect on offense and triple covered Travis Kelce. They maybe slowed him down a little bit, but they got enough out of everybody else for the first time. And this is a Patriots offense that is struggling. And I still don't know if I'm comfortable saying that the Chiefs are one of the better teams in the AFC. In fact, I'm probably not. And they're going to have to, barring something funny, go on the road here in the playoffs. And what's that going to look like when they're on the road for the first time? So, you know, formulaic game. Wasn't surprised with how this turned out. Now we're all just sort of waiting on the Bill Belichick. Will he, won't he? There's been some pushback on that story that came out last week that it was already a done deal. Let's just get to draft season for New England.
Yeah, I don't know what there is to enjoy about the Patriots right now. Sorry. But, I mean, it just kind of is what it is. It was interesting to see this game through the prism of, like, it was the first one after the, like, super Belichick rumors and everything. But, like, not that it really changed anything. I'm kind of with you on the Chiefs. I do, like, there's a lot of, you know, advanced data to support that Mahomes is playing really well. But, like Travis Kelce's not. I know that, you know,
He seems banged up.
Right.
Like, I think that's it. It's not like Travis Kelce is suddenly bad.
Agreed.
I think he's just banged up because he's the guy you double and triple cover. He's the guy you're going to jam off the line, and he's the guy you're going to focus your attention to. And he plays a rather physical position in a physical sport and a physical style of play where he's barreling into people and trying to get extra yardage. I think he's just banged up right now.
The Kadarius Toney thing continuing to be a thing is amazing. And like, how can you trust him at all?
I don't think you can at this point.
I think it was Kyle Brandt that I heard on Good Morning Football this morning that was like, he must just be incredible in practice, right? to where Mahomes and Reed are like, oh, we gotta trust him. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just, it's really bad. I mean, like, it was a win, and so they kind of stopped the bleeding from last week and all that stuff. But like, I mean,
and the frustration is still there too. With Mahomes, like, you saw the frustration again on the sideline after that throw that was a perfect ball that went right through his hands for an interception. It led to a touchdown, and Mahomes is spiking the helmet and he's yelling on the bench, and it's just generalized frustration. Yeah, but that was the underlying thread line to the frustration last week when he lashed out at the refs. It was, this guy let us down. Now this week it's like, this guy let us down. Like, at some point that boils over.
Wow. I wouldn't say that it's a tough scene for the Chiefs, but it's a different scene than we're used to.
It's a new scene, and we're going to learn a lot about this team, about Andy Reid as a head coach and Patrick Mahomes as a leader, because they're being tested in ways they haven't been tested before. And look, if they come through this and, you know, they win in the wild card round and they win a divisional game on the road, and then they go on the road to the AFC Championship and they get back to a Super Bowl, it will be a very impressive run for them. But if they don't, what will that say?
I think it'll say that they're human and the NFL's hard. And
so, not easy.
All right. Speaking of hard, that's what this game has been for you and Rachel. You both have each gotten two correct. I don't know if you've kept tabs, Mark. We have two games left. Rachel is aware of this as well. So you're both going to offer a guess. And this is, you know, not purposefully, but effectively a double or nothing, you know, question. You win this game, either you tie if you both pick the same thing, or you take the whole thing. So the last two games left, so the audience can play along as well if they're listening at their own pace, are the Saints beating the Giants and the Rams beating the Commanders. The two prompts are sugar Christmas cookies. That's one prompt in and of itself. And Feliz Navidad is the second prompt. So you each have to match the two prompts to the two games. I really hope you go in alternate directions, obviously, so we can have a defined winner and loser. I'm stalling. I'm treading water so y'all can think. And you know,
I'm ready.
Mark is ready. Okay, Rachel has. What is your guess, Mark? Don't look at the chat.
I already looked at the chat, okay. So I'm gonna switch by just because we're gonna switch it up. Then, so I'm going Feliz Navidad for Rams Commanders.
But just to be clear, that's your Christmas gift potentially, because your instinct was to assign sugar Christmas cookies to Rams Commanders, right?
Yeah,
that's what Rachel did. So
I'm flipping it because we gotta have some, because a good Christmas episode has some drama at the end.
It not only has drama, but it also has life consequences, right? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like you have to learn the lesson. You know what I mean? Like whatever happens, like the
see, and this could be my sort of Grinch, you know, moment. This could be my sort of like Grinch character moment.
Right. Well, Rachel, Mark must have gotten you for Secret Santa because Rachel got it right. Rachel wins the game 4-2. Maybe there's some solace, Mark, in that you know, your instincts were correct.
My instincts were at least right.
Right. Sugar Christmas cookies for the Los Angeles Rams beating the Washington Commanders. The reason is sugar Christmas cookies are kind of always there. Like they're not the dish that you're looking forward to, but they're there when you grab one, you know, moving around.
I am making some as soon as we get done here. So
Mark, don't sell yourself short. Based on what you have posted on Threads over the last few days, you are doing way more than just sugar Christmas cookies. You are on fire in the kitchen right now. We're getting you on the Great British Bake Show with Paul Hollywood.
No. I'm not that good. I've had some bad bakes in the past.
Anyway, yeah, but it was there. You know what I mean? Like other people were paying attention to Dallas, Buffalo, and it was kind of nice. Like every bite I got of this game, it was like Matthew Stafford's playing kind of well, right? Like, you know, whatever's going on. Also, sometimes the cookies are stale and boring, and that's kind of who the Commanders are as a whole. Sometimes you make poor decisions, like benching Sam Howell. For what reason? Like what are you getting out of benching Sam Howell for Jacoby Brissett?
Strange to me. Like, why? And now you're going to go back to Howell. He's still your star. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to do with the Commanders. I don't think Ron Rivera knows what to do with the Commanders at this point. I'm just very excited to see Bill Belichick, Washington Commanders head coach, next year. It's going to be fun.
The Rams as a 7 seed, if they were to go to Philadelphia, that's where it would be today. Like, what are their odds? Like, I'd pick the Eagles, but like...
I'd pick the Eagles, but I would not put money on it.
Yeah, I would feel better about Buffalo going anywhere as the AFC 7 seed, to be very clear. But like, yeah. I really am feeling what the Rams have going on. Stafford is balling. Like, capital B, apostrophe on the end, balling right now.
Yeah, he's playing extremely well. Their offense is so fun to watch. I said it a couple of times in the game. Puka Nacua is fantastic as a receiver. He might be better as a blocker with the stuff they ask him to do to like dig out linebackers and strong safeties at the second level. Like you see a lot of their touchdown. Williams had a touchdown run and it's behind Puka. Like when you're running behind a wide receiver in the run game, that tells you what you need to know about that wide receiver, what they can do. Stafford's playing extremely well. You still have Aaron Donald. You know, this is a good defense. The Rams are a team that I would not want to see. And look, they get Saints Giants the next 2 weeks. That Saints game Thursday night, that's a playoff game, you know, because right now they're the 7 and the 8.
Speaking of the Saints and Giants, look at that, Mark. Those are the last two teams. That is Feliz Navidad. The reason, if that song hits at the right time, it's a vibe. You know what I mean? Like if you're in the right mindset and that song hits, you are feeling good. The Superdome always kind of feels that way to me. Like I feel like the Superdome must have like really great Christmas decor. It just kind of seems like that kind of building, like with the Sugar Bowl and everything going on. Like the lights just must be great. And on the vibe thing, that's what Tommy DeVito has been. Like he hit at the right time. Like we were so starved for like a somewhat passable meme that he showed up and gave us what we needed. It did not translate into another win. And I think people are a little bit out now. This was a game.
I still don't know what to make. I still don't know. Like I would use JP's fast forward on this. Honestly, I don't know what to make of the Saints. Tommy DeVito's agent showing up in the like National Italian American Sports Hall of Fame suit, which was green, was an absolute Christmas holiday vibe. Like that was incredible. But, yeah, I don't know what to make of the Saints. The Tommy DeVito story was fun. I think this was probably sort of like in the past couple of weeks, you know, at least last week, didn't get sacked, got sacked seven times in this game. Like, seemed like he sort of took a step back. You know, maybe we're not going to see this like storybook ended where he wills that team into the playoffs, but I think he's at least done enough that he's probably going to be part of their conversation and plans sure. going forward at the position. But I don't know what to make of the Saints, and it would not surprise me. They're going to see the Rams this week. You know, that's a game in LA. Would it surprise you if the Rams blow them out? Like, no.
No. I mean, we've been talking about, like, who's going to be last year's or 2 years ago's as Lions next year. The Saints are going to be last year's Chargers in 2024. Like, the team, like, oh, I'm no longer taking the Saints seriously. You know what I mean? Like, that, I'm out. I'm never predicting the Saints again, blah, blah, blah. Like, they are really, you know, wearing out all of the – I don't want to call it goodwill, but, like, they were an NFL staple from, what, 2006 through 2020.
Yeah. And coming into this year, how many people – I mean, I put my hand up first – like, oh, yeah, that's the Saints' division to lose. They get the most stable quarterback situation in Derek Carr. Like, yeah.
It was their division to lose. They had a super friendly schedule, including their division rivals. But, like, man, I'm so out. And the Tommy DeVito thing, that suit was great. I mean, like, normally stuff like that would bother me, like when someone's being a little bit too ostentatious in their moment. But, dude, run with it. You know what I mean?
Like, man. Yeah. Like, these moments, this is a lightning in the bottle kind of moment for both DeVito and his agent. And they're making the most of it. Kudos to them.
Okay, so ends our 12 days of Christmas kind of experiment around here. Rachelle, our winner, if you could please join us and give us your overall, I guess, Christmas thoughts, your thoughts on the game, your thoughts on the games, et cetera, et cetera. The floor is yours to also hand out the MFW MVP.
This was a lot of fun. It was a challenge because I'm not good at these type of games, especially with the holidays. So it was definitely a challenge, but it was a lot of fun. Probably one of the most fun episodes recently that we've done.
Yeah, so RJ, great call on that.
Wow. JP not here for that. So what does that say about him that he weighs down the Mr. Establish the fun, you know, kind of a fun
missed out of the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a fun one. My bigger takeaways from this week were the defensive end. I'm going to butcher his name, Tano Passanio. I think that's how you pronounce it. Last name, he had a really big performance, career game for him. He had three sacks, and so that was huge. And then also just seeing Joe Flacco like balling out of his mind, that was pretty nice for him. So shout out to Joe Flacco for that. But today you both did a phenomenal job. I think it was really, really hard because RJ, you came up with the idea to like,
I'd give it to RJ. Like,
but Mark, you were on, like, you were quick on your feet, so being able to like guess these,
I'd give it to Mark.
No, like, I'm giving it right back to RJ.
Rachelle, no, Rachelle, you get it. Rachelle gets the MFL MVP.
That's right.
Rachelle, oh, it's Christmas time. We're all given. Okay. You know what I mean?
I'll take it.
You don't ever get to win them. So you get the Christmas, and yours is special. Yours has, it looks like a tree. You know what I mean? It's all sparkly. Yeah. Like ours is just flame and bronze whenever we win them. Like yours is really cool. So congratulations to Rachelle, our MFWP. Who do you want to thank?
I want to thank my parents. I want to thank my niece just turned one on Friday. Christmas. Yeah, that's what I'm going to shout out today.
Love okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. Wonderful. No episode from us next week, as mentioned, and no episode the following Monday. So the next time you hear from us will be January 2nd. That is Tuesday. So as we close, what are your football resolutions, Rachelle?
Oh, Ravens win on Christmas Day against the 49ers.
Okay. That's technically in the past on New Year's, but whatever. It still counts. Okay. Mark, what's your Christmas resolution or New Year's resolution?
My New Year's football resolution is don't get my hopes up that the Patriots are going to draft a quarterback.
Oh.
Well, you know, that's the holiday spirit. I guess mine is just make it quick and easy, Cowboys. Like, whatever way that is. If you're going to blow a team out, do it. I don't need you to win a close game or just get blown out yourself. Don't string me along. You know what I mean? Hallmark movie. You know, cliche, straight, formulaic, to the point.
There you go.
All right, let's get out of here. Rachelle, the final word is yours.
Merry Christmas.